I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Sunil Arora. Sunil is a professional coach for individuals and companies. He focuses on leadership and personal development for startup executives, entrepreneurs starting their own businesses, and individuals in a professional transition. Sunil also works on organizational structuring and development for early stage companies. His approach combines a mindset foundation with tactical frameworks. He draws on his experience in finance, sociology, technology startups, and the public policy space. Sunil graduated with a BS in business administration and a BA in sociology from the University of California, Berkeley, and received his MPA with a concentration in international finance and economic policy from the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University. Sunil, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, David. Pleasure to be with you.
So I often describe sort of a condition of plateau as something that somebody who's been doing what he or she does for some time, like let's say somebody who's in a leadership role, or maybe somebody who is who's a professional expert, who has been in that role for a bit of time, some unexpected roadblocks crop up. And if you're in that role and you're looking ahead at what you would dream to achieve before your story ends, and there's a gap between that end and where you are now, and the gap either isn't getting small fast enough, or more than likely is actually getting bigger. And the tools that you've used in the past to try to overcome roadblocks just don't seem to be working that well, or maybe not working at all. And it looks like your peers and your colleagues are achieving breakthrough success kind of left, right, and center. And our media and social media in particular kind of exacerbate this. It can be a cause for a lot of alarm and anxiety and frustration and fear and all kinds of emotional roadblocks that will add to the other roadblocks that are already occurring. And this show is all about, like, how do you overcome this? What do you do about it? How do you make the changes you need to make so that you can start closing the gap and smash the plateau? And I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey, because I know that you've had some of these experiences that have led you into the space that you're in now as a professional coach for individuals and companies.
Absolutely. My story really intertwines what you're talking about, and the whole paradigm of smashing plateaus is something I thought a lot more about. It was subconscious for me early on, and it's morphed into the consciousness for me over time that I'd love to explain how I've gotten there. So it starts for me with being the product of a classic immigrant story. I was born and raised in Northern California by parents who immigrated to the United States from India. And as a result, the analogy I always use as a big baseball fan is I was born standing on third base, which is to mean I was born with an incredible circumstance in life, health, opportunity, education, everything laid out in front of me. And I think this is what ultimately made me frustrated when I reached the different plateaus I did in my career that I subconsciously didn't understand early on, and then later on came to appreciate and work through in a different way that leads me to what I'm doing today. But you mentioned in my background, I studied business and sociology at UC Berkeley. Had an incredible education there, very fortunate to learn some great things at an early stage of my life. And then I started my career in finance, where I worked at a wonderful firm in San Francisco, specifically in the hedge fund-to-fund industry. Learned a lot, was treated well, compensated well, and grew a ton as a early professional early in my career, where I had a great gig, to be honest with you. But I reached a plateau 4 or 5 years into that experience where I just felt like I could do more and I could apply myself in different ways, where I could learn more. And that pushed me to think about things in a different context that related to the public policy arena. So coming out of the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, I found myself working in finance, very much trying to understand what had just happened, how, where, and what, and how do we prevent it from happening again, which took me to a graduate school experience at Columbia, where I was studying international finance and economic policy, with the thought that I was either going to go work for the government or work in a macro investment research capacity. Both of those things were really interesting to me, to think about things in a different context. And I did all of that when I was in this program, you know, learned a ton, full-time program in this space, but reached a plateau of a different realm where I said, you know what, there might be something even more I can do with this when I graduated and was presented with the opportunity to transition into the financial technology world. This opportunity came about with friends who had started a company based in Silicon Valley. They offered me the position to start and run the New York office for a financial technology firm, which at first came out of left field a little bit with the things I had done, but quickly was contextualized by myself as something that could be a really great way, again, smash the current plateau I was in, to learn more, to grow more, to push myself. And so I embraced that opportunity and did that for about 3 years. Got to a different plateau at the end of that, where I had learned a lot about both different sales, operationals, and strategy roles within a very well-financed, successful young technology company, but also organizationally, culturally, starting a new office and presence for a company in New York City that was based in California. And arriving at this plateau is what really took me into a different space to take a step back and think about my process for how I wanted to go forward from there.
You know, it's interesting how opportunities come up that are unexpected, and there are different ways one could respond to them. So you choose to accept this opportunity in the tech startup and embrace it.
Absolutely. It was a appreciation of a way to push myself to build a different skill set, to think about an opportunity that may not come along again. And quite frankly, I almost thought about the world of finance in two ways. You're either sitting in a seat as an analyst, a trader, researcher, or you're regulating on the space as a policymaker. Because technology, in my experience in the financial world, had never been something that was viewed as a differentiator, as a point of growth and productivity, but more as a cost center or necessary evil in the worst circumstance. But I saw it evolving in a way of looking at the world of finance and investing through the prism of technology. And that growth, that newness, very much excited me and compelled me to embrace it.
Yeah. So how did you end up going from that to coaching?
Great question. So this was a situation where 3 years into this opportunity, I'm faced with a dynamic where, again, I had reached a plateau and was considering a next step for different reasons. A dynamic of my role had changed a bit. I was exhausted from working at an awesome but high-flying startup, going back and forth between coasts, and was just thinking about the next step, but was doing so in the context of how a lot of people, I think about a step forward when they're at a plateau, which is, what have I done before? Who do I know? And what are some of the things I've studied? And you triangulate between those three things to figure out the path forward, whether it's a new opportunity, whether it's how to become a better leader, whether it's how to start your own business. But I realized that paradigm of triangulating between those three things can lead to interesting next chapters, but can just as often lead to a situation where 3 months later you wake up and you might have a different business card, paycheck, or title, or you might be in a slightly different leadership role, but you realize you fundamentally haven't changed what you wanted to change because you didn't address the root of what was really perpetuating your desire to think about something in a different way or to grow past a certain chasm that you saw in front of you. And so this is when I realized that I was at a juncture to take a step back and really think about my past and the path forward in a different way. And there was a yearning to hit pause on what I was doing and really think about my education, my background, my skill sets, my experiences in a deep way, and then make a more conscious, deliberate decision about how I wanted to apply myself going forward. Mm-hmm. The reality is, if you are an experienced, educated professional working in the developed economy we live and work in, you have more optionality than you ever had before. You could literally wake up tomorrow and do 10 different things, which is exciting and something I'm very grateful for, but it's also extremely overwhelming and can be disorienting. And so for me, it was antithetical to my son of immigrant classic type A path where I'm a planner. I know what's next. I know what's coming ahead. But I realized that I needed to shock myself out of that routine and hit pause and make this decision about what was next for me in some white space. And so with the support of an incredibly wonderful partner and my wife, who was very much encouraging me to do this, I said, let me hit pause and think about this next chapter for me in a way I've never done before, which is in some blank space. True to my type A framework operational self, I created a list of questions and a set of frameworks that I want to go through and answer and think about. But when I addressed them after I'd wrapped up at this great firm I was working for, I realized that there was no formula or path for me to answer them. Right? There was no book I could read that had all the answers or something I could search online that had all the answers for me. I had to fundamentally get comfortable with spending time alone with my own thoughts. Right? I had to develop a mindfulness practice for myself and think about things from a meditative context, from a journaling context, from just a, again, peace with my own thoughts context to be able to answer the questions I was asking of myself. And that's a process I went into several years ago. This is 2014, where I was working through these things in a mindset capacity with these mindfulness practices that I developed, combined with this tactical approach to say, okay, let's use the discoveries from that to answer these questions for yourself or to give you a better understanding of your own leadership presence or your skill sets or the background you come from or how you want to fundamentally spend your time. And that was a process I developed in the fall of 2014, quite frankly, for myself. And as I started sharing it with friends, colleagues, folks who were asking me about what I was doing next, I quickly had a very interesting, exciting situation where folks came back to me and said, hey, I was thinking a little bit more about your process, and I'd love for you to potentially work with me for my own situation I'm dealing with as a leader facing some challenges, as someone looking to make a transition or start my own thing, and coach me through that if you'd be willing to do so. Quite frankly, it was unexpected, but very interesting for me to see how my approach might apply to someone else. And that is what led me to start doing some coaching when I was in my own transition in my own white space.
So unexpected opportunity number two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sunil, with your type A framework, son of immigrant mindset, how important do you think it was for you to play it safe and look for a path that was fairly linear and laid out?
Wonderful question. It was the biggest challenge I faced at that time. To be completely honest with you, it was something that I came to a period of time about 6 months into my taking this time off, my starting to coach and realizing three things. One, I genuinely loved it. Two, was humbly but confidently pretty good at it. And three, there was a huge opportunity set here to be had, especially with someone who came from an industry background with understanding of finance and technology and the policy space. But that was contrasted with three or four very interesting lucrative opportunities in the startup tech world that had come my way. My background and resume comes out of some sort of algorithm for financial technology opportunities in terms of what I've done before and it being very applicable to certain sales strategy operational roles. Something I'm very thankful for and appreciative of, but it made that construct difficult for me because I was holding on one hand this very new thing that I quite frankly knew at my core was going to be a future leg of my journey. And on the other hand, a few opportunities that were playing it safe, that were very much the thing I should do next, quite frankly. And I was at a crossroads. This was early 2015. And you know, between me and you, I wasn't strong enough to go down the first path. I wasn't ready yet to do something so different that was such a departure from my background, the things I'd done before, the things I was well understood in. And so I decided to take an opportunity at another financial technology firm where I was doing some interesting things relevant to what I'd done before. I was very upfront and open with the team there around this coaching I'd started to do and was going to continue to do on the side in some capacity and help the company in some capacity that I could do it with. And they were very supportive of that, but it certainly wasn't going to be my core role there. But I had to do that for my next leg of the journey just to fully flesh out being ready for this. So the answer to your question was, it wasn't easy for me to go down this path. It took me another year of working there, doing some great things that I was proud of, helping that company grow before I realized that my head and heart were being yanked firmly in this other direction of building my own coaching business and going down this path. And so it wasn't until a year later in early 2016 that I made the exciting slash terrifying leap to start my own business and enter this space.
And you also mentioned the word should in making that decision to go back into another technology startup. Who were the people who were communicating the should, was it coming from you, or was it coming from expectations that others might have had about you, or maybe some combination?
It's a very nuanced, thoughtful question. I think it was some combination. I talk to my clients a lot about the internal and external soundtrack of expectation. I have a pretty loud internal soundtrack around where I should go, what I should do, how I should be thinking about things. Again, the word should dominating those thoughts. But through the mindfulness practice I built in this time of, again, a meditation practice, doing some journaling, spending time alone with my own thoughts, and just going spiritually to a different place, I was able to quiet that internal soundtrack. And for me, it was more the external, where I had prospective employers, old mentors, colleagues, friends, family, from a place of pure regard and appreciation for my background and ability, saying, hey, Sunil, there are these other opportunities in front of you in the startup tech world. Take one of those, see if it turns into the next, you know, hugely valuable company where you can make a lot of money for yourself, and go do this other thing later. We can tell you're good at it, or you're very passionate about it, you really enjoy it, but that'll be around for you in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years. Why don't you go take this other opportunity that's in front of you now, because it is such a great fit for your background. And again, it's what probably should be doing given where you come from. So that, it was a predominantly external, but I would be lying to say if there wasn't an internal component to it as well.
Okay. So clearly you have a lot of experience that has led you to the process that you now use as a coach.
Absolutely.
And clearly you've done a lot of deep thinking about how one gets started on this process and gets started on the path that so you can use the process to smash a plateau. Let's walk through the process. What are the steps, and why does it work?
Sure. So at a high level, to take the second question first, process works because it is based on two pillars that I think are instrumental for anything you are trying to do in smashing a plateau, whether it's making some sort of transition, becoming a better leader, starting your own business. Any of those three things, this process is predicated on the first pillar of self-awareness. So taking in what most cases is a good, healthy level of self-awareness, because anyone who agrees to engage with the coach has a self-awareness to say, hey, there's some things I want to get better at. There's some things I want to work on. But taking a good, healthy level of self-awareness and really catapulting it to an extremely high, acutely detailed level of self-awareness. That's the first pillar of this process. The second pillar is vulnerability. Right. So self-awareness doesn't do you any good if you don't cultivate and maintain the vulnerability to be able to share it in all contexts. And so the process is predicated on, you know, those two pillars, and can be applicable to a variety of situations for those reasons. But to answer the first question there, it is a combination of what, again, I call mindset meets tactical. So mindset for me has three stages. I start with what I call an identity mosaic. So personally, professionally, educationally, really digging into someone's story. Who are you? Where do you come from? What is the first organization you were part of? Which people often start at age 22 before I stop them and say, actually, it was your family that was the first organization that you were part of. So talk to me about that, right? What roles did you play? How did you think about that growing up? So the identity mosaic is the first stage of the mindset work. The second stage is something I refer to as mental lenses. These are 10 to 15 different factors that are typically subconscious drivers of action or bias. Things such as your relationship to fear, money, how you approach conflict, your thoughts around luck, purpose, status, etc. And then the third set of work in the mindset capacity is everything related to your values framework. What's most important to you and how? And there's a distinction here between values and ideals that I work through with people. A lot of folks will list out a set of things and say, these are my values. But when you go through them and say, are you actively practicing this on a daily basis? You find a quick distinction between an ideal, something that you'd like to value, but you don't actually practice, and a value, which is something you're actively engaging with on an ongoing basis in your life and the work you do. So that's the mindset work to start, where I dig in deeply to understand someone's background, regardless of what their objectives are. Right, regardless of what they've come to me for, leadership work, transition, starting their own business, I'll start in the mindset capacity. Once we've done that, you can then establish your areas of focus and your goals, and you switch to the second part of this process, which is the tactical work. And that is working through frameworks, exercises, questions, role play, you name it, to address the areas of focus and the goals that will be at play. It's really important for me to marry the two things, because I think you'll see a lot of folks in the coaching space who typically will focus on one or the other. They might spend a lot of great time around mindset work and really uncover some great truths about you as a client, but then you're left holding a bunch of interesting but weighty information, wondering, what do I do with this? How do I put this into action? How do I make decisions with this? Conversely, you have folks on the other end who take a formulaic approach to say, hey, here's my process. Here's what we do. We start with this exercise or this program, and we go through it in this way. And at the end, you have, you know, these results. That, no matter how great the process or program is designed, to me is inherently flawed, because you're not starting with a deep understanding of who the person is and where they come from. So I have a lot of clients sometimes that ask me, hey, can we just work on the tactical bit? And I'll say, no, you know what? I need to start with the mindset, because it's only in service of you, of me helping navigate your path to understand that before we go forward. So it's mindset meets tactical. Again, both predicated on these pillars of self-awareness and vulnerability.
What are some of the results that you've seen?
Absolutely. So I've seen situations where, from a transition standpoint, someone coming to work with me saying, hey, I'd love to transition from finance to the technology world, for example. But in doing the work and starting on the mindset side and then doing sort of a more bottoms-up appreciation of their skill sets, of their interests, of how they want to spend their time, they realize it's not at all technology, but it's a business they want to build in the media world, right? And you go down that path of understanding a different reality for them. This, again, is more of the bottom-up approach as opposed to a top-down, this is what I should be doing given my background, this is where I should be going, authentic path to it. Another outcome I've seen in a entrepreneurial setting is helping someone who's starting their business understand, hey, what do I want to focus on and how, based on who I am, where do I come from, what my skill sets and experiences are, and where I can add the most value, and really helping launch that in a much more targeted capacity where, you know, to your earlier thoughtful point, you remove some of the normative, you remove some of the, well, given what I'm doing or where I come from, I should do this, but you take it to this more authentic level that ultimately leads to a higher level of success for, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what makes the most sense for me to do. So it's been a lot of fun for me to work with people across these three categories, and a point I'll make too, across very different backgrounds. So I got a lot of very helpful advice that I, fortunately for me, chose to ignore at the time when I started my own business, which was, hey, this is a pretty amorphous field in terms of talking about coaching. You have a great background, but you're somewhat new to this. You should establish a very targeted niche here and be the guy who works with folks who are coming out of professional services and maybe looking to go into the technology world or the policy world, because you've done that, right? It made a lot of sense commercially to me, but from the standpoint of just being a curious citizen of the world and someone who enjoys thinking about different leadership contexts and different business models and different ways to spend your time and earn a living, I was really excited to work with people from all sorts of backgrounds. And I tried to do that, and I embraced that from the beginning. And that has taken hold in a great way, where applying your approach in a continuous learning context to people from different backgrounds who think differently, who are educated differently, is a wonderful way as a coach to stay sharp and to stay engaged and to not fall into a pattern of, you know, this is what I do and this is how I do it. And, you know, a rigid mindset that I think is a disservice to you and the person you're working with.
Sunil, what do you think some of the differences are between coaching an individual and working with a group?
So very different dynamics that are at play. When you're coaching an individual, you know, very explicitly have the interplay of a personal and professional context in the midst of a conversation, right? A lot of people will ask me, hey, how do you define or classify yourself? Are you a life coach, an executive coach, a career coach, a business coach? And quite frankly, my response is yes. It's some combination of all of the above, right? I call myself a professional coach just because oftentimes people are talking about things in this professional context, but it's elements of everything. And so when you're coaching an individual, the individual is showing up in their holistic way, and you can address both sides of that very directly in your work with them. You're talking to them about the personal, you're talking about the professional, you're seeing how those things come together. When you're working with a group, you're working with the same set of holistic individuals, but it's a trickier circumstance in which you want to engage each person individually as a holistic individual. You want them to engage with each other as holistic individuals, but given the group setting, you can't always go there as directly in that conversation. And so you have to bring up themes, you have to facilitate and moderate conversation that's going to get them there themselves, which sometimes will take a little longer, sometimes be a little harder if someone is resistant to do so, but you can't as clearly and directly go to it as you can in the one-on-one setting. And for me, it's a lot of fun because it's a different type of challenge that, you know, helps inform the work I do in a one-on-one context and vice versa, where you could sit down with a team, you could quickly read a room, understand where people are coming from, what dispositions folks have, how open people might be to a certain conversation or thought, and then see how you navigate it to a place where, again, folks can appreciate each other in a more holistic sense and then have that deeper level conversation because they don't just look at them as colleague who does X, Y, and Z, but person who comes from this background and has this view for that reason.
Yeah, you can have a great mix and terrific dynamics in a group.
Absolutely.
Sunil, whom do you know personally who has been really successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, one of my good friends and former clients comes to mind. His name is Dave LeBlanc. He is a very talented and successful drummer, has always been a really great musician, but like a lot of people, grew up with it as a hobby, as something he dreamed of doing in a full-time professional context, but it's not an easy path to go down logistically, financially, emotionally. And we got to know each other several years ago. He was doing this on the side while he worked as a successful salesperson at a startup tech firm before he finally got to the point where he said, you know what, I've got to give this a shot. He was in his own plateau of only being able to spend so much time on this and not be able to grow in his craft as much as he wanted to. So we started working together a couple of years ago, and the work I saw him do in that context and since on his own to smash through that plateau, to be able to support himself and build his own business in a really thoughtful, dynamic way. This is an example of someone coming from a different background than me and seeing, again, how my certain type A frameworks or approaches resonate in some ways and in others don't with a really creative artist. But he's someone who I have a tremendous amount of pride in thinking about what he does and inspired by how he's smashed that plateau. And the best part is he's just beginning. He's at an early stage of his career, and he's someone I have no doubt people will be seeing in future consort tours and working with very successful artists. Pride in thinking about what he does and inspired by how he's smashed that plateau. And the best part is he's just beginning. He's at an early stage of his career, and he's someone I have no doubt people will be seeing in future consort tours and working with very successful artists.
Yeah, Dave sounds like a great example. And yes, artists really struggle with some of these dynamics that you've described. So thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
Sunil, what do we have to look forward to from you in the near future? What's coming up?
For me, it's a combination of some constant learning. It's my belief that you're only as good of a coach as you're willing to continue to invest and grow yourself. So I'm excitedly pursuing different trainings and programs where I can push myself to learn things and bring that to the table for the clients I work with, and more broadly, the community I'm in, which is the second point of me doing more things like this, connecting with wonderful people like yourself who very graciously give me some time and space to have a great conversation around what I do and how I do it and why I do it. So sharing some more of my thoughts through this medium, doing a little bit more writing, and just putting different perspectives out there from, you know, the work I'm doing with my clients, as well as the learning I'm doing in my quest to continue to grow and learn. It's a pretty awesome situation to be in where I'm doing something that I genuinely love and it doesn't feel like work the vast majority of the time and feel like I'm good at, with the reality that there's so much more for me to do and there's so much more for me to grow and learn into. That combination is a wonderful one to live with every day.
It sounds great. Well, congratulations on everything you've achieved, and forging the path that you're forging, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Sure. So right now, again, I'll be putting myself out there in some different context soon, but listeners are free to email me, just saurora@gmail.com. Happy to chat with, engage with anyone who wants to learn more about my work or see how I can be helpful in describing what I do or the coaching space in general. Always more than glad to connect with people in the community that way.
Sounds great. Well, Sunil, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great conversation.
My guest, David, I appreciate it.
Yeah, my guest today has been professional coach Sunil Arora. Thank you again, Sunil, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.